Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6 this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 6, we're going to read verses 35 through 37 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's John chapter 6, verse 35 through 37 this morning. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet if you're able this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 6 is our chapter. Verse 35 through 37 is our text. Beginning at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God and the opportunity that we have here this morning to hear the Word of God preached to us from our pastor. God, use this time to help us, prepare us. Do in our hearts what needs to be done today is my prayer. Father, I pray you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for this task ahead. Use him. And Father, as Pastor prayed this morning, if there's somebody in this room this morning or even on the internet today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask that you keep your Bibles open, follow along with me. We're going to move around the scripture a little bit today, and I'll try to give you time to find the references. If not, and you don't turn to each one, it's okay. I think you'll find them familiar. But now listen very carefully. And then, of course, always, and I haven't reminded you of this at some time, and it hasn't taken place, make sure your electronic devices are turned off. We in here in our church, if your cell phone goes off during the service, we beat you with a club. And so help us there. Club card. Okay, good. Now I want you to look in your Bibles. John chapter 6. Here is our Lord speaking to us. And he makes us a promise that we must believe, accept, and know. John 6, 37. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And here's his promise. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at your pastor this morning. That's a promise from God. Jesus makes promises. Jesus keeps promises. You know what? He promises that if you will come to him, he promises he won't turn you away. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Years ago, when our children were small, especially our youngest one, we made a trip to Disneyland. Now, to me, the worst thing you can do in life is go to an amusement park. There's nothing amusing about it. Full of people, a lot of crazy stuff. Then you get on these rides that just absolutely scare the living snot out of you. And for 90 seconds, just before you lose bodily function control, they stop. And then people say, wasn't that fun? That doesn't sound like fun to me. Not only that, but here are people, they got some of these rides called the demon. What's a Baptist doing on a demon? That's what I want to know. I look up at this ride, it goes, the demon. I go, I'm not going over there. You got to be kidding me. My wife loves those things. I think they're crazy, absolutely insane. But Disneyland. Peter was little then. We put him in one of those stroller things for Disneyland. And we're telling him, we got him all pumped up for it. I said, hey, you'll probably see Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and all those guys here. This is Disneyland. This is where they live. So he's in the chair and we're pushing him. We just get inside the gate in Disneyland. And lo and behold, there is Goofy. 8 feet tall. With buck teeth so bad he could eat pumpkins through a rail fence. I mean, huge Goofy. And as I wheel him in, there he comes. And he's walking. And I said, Peter, look, there's Goofy. And Peter's going, Goofy, Goofy. And he's waving at him like that, Goofy, Goofy, come here, come here, come here. And Goofy starts walking toward him. And as he gets closer, Peter starts looking up at him and he goes, go away, go away, go away. Scared him to death. I mean, an 8-foot dog with buck teeth who wouldn't scare anybody. And Goofy very kindly just turned and walked away. I didn't point out any more people to him the rest of the trip. That was good enough right there. You come to Jesus, he won't turn you away. You believe that this morning? Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm sorry for those people who think they have to be the elect to come to God. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm sorry for people who think they have to get there through their church, because Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm sorry for people today who believe that their religion is the only way to Jesus, because Jesus said, him, not the church, not the religion, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means an individual thing. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? That means any person, anytime, anywhere, any place, any person who's willing to come to Jesus, Jesus promises them he will not cast them out. Now, if you want to this morning, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to give you three promises of coming to Christ that he will always keep. There are more than this, but I'll just give you three because as a Baptist preacher, you have to have 3 points in your message. And if I ever find the guy in heaven who came up with the alliterated outline where they all have to match the same letter at the start with it, I'm going to have a time with him in heaven too. Matthew chapter 11 this morning, please. Here's one he promised that if you would come to him, he would not cast you out. You need to believe this now. Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't make promises and not keep them. Matthew 11 to 28, please. Jesus here saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a great promise. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Look at me this morning. Did you come to church with a burden on your heart? Do you have one? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Please know what rest means in the Bible. It doesn't mean release. Christianity is not escapism. Some people are selling that to churches today and Christians. The Lord will make all your problems go away. No, he won't. Sometimes he'll give you a few problems. But the truth of the matter is he'll never give it to you by yourself. If you come to him, he'll go through it with you. See, that's the difference between us and the world this morning. The world goes through their problems on their own. They got to deal with it however they have to deal with it. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know how people get by in life without the Lord Jesus Christ to help them. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they go to a cemetery or a hospital. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they go through battles and struggles and difficulties in their life. I don't know. But just not only that, just, you know, life can be a little bit of a burden, just life. Yes? Work, job, family, taking care of your own, doing what you're supposed to do, that's bearing the yoke. Sometimes that's just kind of a burden in life. Jesus didn't qualify what kind of burden it was. He just said, all come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The word rest here means a respite. We call it a break. He says, I'll tell you how I'll give you the break. He says, you get in the yoke with me. You know what a yoke is. That's a wood or a piece of iron or leather that made two animals do the same thing. His yoke, friend, not yours, his yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he said. And I'll give you a rest, he said. If you'll do that, you come to me. Oh, the burdened ones need to come to Jesus this morning. May I ask you a question today? Can you come to him? You say, well, he's there, yes, but can you come to him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? See, I wish I could say Jesus will lift everybody's burdens. No, he lifts the burdens of those who belong to him, those who can come along beside him and come up to Christ because they know him. And knowing Christ, Jesus said, in that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And Jesus will say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Knowing somebody has two sides to it, okay? That's you knowing them and them knowing you. I meet people and talk to them about the Lord and stuff, and they say, well, I know the Lord. Good, that's a good expression. Next question is this, does he know you? This thing about salvation, it's very simple. I wish we could keep it as simple as God presents it. Salvation is, in repentance of faith, I realize I'm a sinner and Christ is the Savior. And in simple repentance of faith, I turn to Jesus Christ as my only hope of salvation and forgiveness. And I put my hope and dependence upon eternal life and forgiveness upon Christ. Because he took that for me. Took it for me on the cross. Dying on the cross, Jesus paid the sin debt I owe to God. Dipped his soul into death, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. All that could purchase eternal life, forgiveness, home in heaven, standing with God was done by the cross and an empty tomb and the Savior who went to the cross and rose from the grave. If I'm willing to simply turn to Christ and trust him as my Savior, oh, he made it simple because he did the hardest part of it all. He did it upon himself. He took it upon himself. And trusting only Christ, you ask him to save you. You have eternal life. You have forgiveness. And guess what? He knows you. Because the Bible says, then that your names are written in heaven. Can you come to him with your burden? He wants you to. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. You say, well, I'm a Christian, Pastor Johnson. I know Christ as my Savior. I guess my next question is, you know him. He knows you. So who do you go to first with your burdens? Who? What do you do? When you have a burden in your life, the first thing you do is you grab your phone, pop up your tablet, open the laptop. You pick up a telephone, you call somebody. First thing that you do, when you have a burden, who is the first one to whom you go? Jesus didn't ask you to come to him eventually. This is a come unto me on the first place. As the Spanish-speaking folks would say, solamente, first one, primary. This is it. You go to him first. You have a burden, you come to Jesus first. That's how you find him and find this rest he promises you. And he promises you this, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. By the way, did you notice there's still a yoke and there's still a burden? It's just a lot easier with Jesus now, a lot easier with him. I'm not promising you, and most importantly, the Lord is not promising you an escape from all the trials and troubles and burdens of life. What he is promising you is this. He'll go with you. You'll pull a load, but you won't pull it by yourself. You'll get there, but trust me, you'll make it. I was on airplanes yesterday. I don't know how many airplanes. I was on an airplane yesterday. When they go to push the plane back from the gate, they got this little low tractor-looking thing. That plane weighs tons. And you would think, how in the world could that thing possibly push this back from the gate to get us to where we're supposed to be? You know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make a difference how it looks to me. It's just able to do it. Pushes the plane back, guys, engines are fired up, he takes that thing off, and we're off and running. You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know how it is that Jesus makes our burden light and how his yoke can be easy, but he does it. Question is this, do you come to him with your burden? Say, well, I tried it. No, you don't try a yoke. You take it. Well, I thought about it. No, you don't think about it. You take it. You realize that. You say, well, I just want all my troubles to go away, Pastor Johnson. You're living in a fantasy world. You're living in a world that's not reality. The wonderful thing about biblical Christianity, people, is this. It's realistic. It actually functions and works in life with burdens, with problems, but with Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. He promises those who come to him that have burdens. Now we turn to Matthew 14, a couple chapters over from there. Matthew chapter 14 and go to verse number 28. Here's one of those examples where the disciples are in a ship and it's a storm. And in Matthew 14 and 28, only this time, now look at me before you start reading it. In Matthew 14, this time it's the disciples in a ship without Jesus. Once before he was with them. This one, he's not in there with them. And it says in verse 22, he constrained his disciples to get in the ship, go to the other side. They get out, the wind comes, the seas roar, the wind is contrary to them. Fourth watch of the night, verse 25, here comes Jesus walking to them on top of the water. Look at verse 28. In a storm, Jesus walking on the water. And in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Here's a promise to come to the Lord he'll help you with, and that's to get through the storms of life. Here's a promise Jesus gives you, that when you step out by faith, it'll happen just exactly like he said. Now look, folks, look, we know how this account goes in Scripture. Peter comes down. He starts walking across the top of the water to Jesus. He sees the wind boisterous. He begins to sink. Jesus comes, takes him by the hand. They walk back to the ship together. And oh, man, how we rail on that guy Peter for his lack of faith and how Peter got his eyes on the storm and how Peter begun to sink and da-da-da-da-da-da. What we really ought to talk about is the other 22 eyeballs in that ship over there. Those 11 guys who wouldn't even attempt to do what Peter did. How about those other 11 guys over in that ship who saw Jesus, and when Jesus said, come, why didn't they all jump out of the thing and head out to him? I mean, look, you got an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. You got an opportunity to step out by faith, and Jesus is going to meet you in the storm. I highly recommend you take him up on that one. Maybe it only applied to Peter because he's the only one that asked. I don't know. All I know is this, friend. When Jesus said, come, Peter slid down on the side of that ship, and before his feet got wet, he, like the Lord Jesus Christ, walked across the top of the waves to Jesus, very dry in the midst of a storm. In other words, he came to the Lord in the time of storm, stepped out by faith, and God met him. You know, I'll tell you something, that stuff still works. Yeah, it does. You come to Jesus by faith. You trust him. Now, you understand what faith is. It's a beautiful picture of faith. Faith wasn't in the ship going, I believe I can do that. That's not faith. Faith wasn't saying, I believe Jesus could walk on the water. That wasn't faith either. Here's what faith was. I believe Jesus said I could do this. I'll do what he tells me to do. And he stepped out of the ship and it did. That's what faith is. That's why James 2 says, faith without works is dead, being alone. We got a lot of people with faith, but it's a dead faith. There's nothing living to it. It's just what you, look here, it's what you believe up here, but it's not what you believe down there. It's what you believe in your mind, but not with your hands, not with your life, not with your actions. If you ask the average person, do you believe in God? Most people will say yes. Got a few atheists out there, folks who say there is no God. Please remind them that that's arrogant, because it is. You'd have to know everything to know there's no God, and nobody know everything. So it's arrogant to say there is no God, or I don't believe there's a God. You don't know that because you don't know it all. And you do the little circle thing I told you about, right? You draw the little circle. I've done this on airplanes with a napkin, with sitting next to Dr. or somebody or other with one of these guys from UCLA with all the letters after his name, you know, PhD, HIV, BVD. He's got them all in there. And he just draw a little circle like that. And I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Let's say you have all the knowledge of the world's in this circle. How much do you have? Let's say you're like Einstein, Hawking squared times 2 plus 1. Let's say you got like a quarter of that. That'd be huge. Isn't it logical then the knowledge you don't have there is God and you just don't know everything? Haven't seen a guy yet look at me. He was an atheist, man or woman. He'd say, oh, other than oh. I had one relative, I converted him from atheism to agnosticism. Wish I could have converted him to Christ, but anyway, he just asked me, well, what am I? I said, you're an agnostic. There's somebody out there, you just don't know who it is. Figure it out. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, the average person would say they believe in God. Hey, listen to me. The average person would say, Bible-believing Christian, I believe that book right there, that's the Word of God. The inspired, infallible, inerrant record God gave us. It has no mistakes in it. It has no contradictions. It will not fail us. Amen? Good. Question, how well do you practice it this week? See, we're not getting out of the boat. The truth of the matter is we want Jesus to calm the storm. What's better than calming the storm? I'll tell you what it is. Walking on top of it. That's what's better than that. You know what's better than calm seas? Troubled seas, but you're walking to Jesus and you're actually doing something you thought you couldn't do. But the Lord enabled you because you stepped out by faith to do so. And no faith in that ship. There's faith when you get out of it. That's our comfort zones. That's our places that we get ourselves where we're like those 11 disciples. We're sitting in the ship going, yeah, Peter, go ahead. Let's see how this turns out. We might join you. And he turned to them and said, would you like to join me? And they give him a Baptist note. What's a Baptist note, church? I'll pray about it. That's right. They're going to do one of those numbers. Yeah, yeah, sure. No, Peter just, and ladies and gentlemen, until he falters in his faith, he was doing just fine. Excuse me, our faith doesn't falter. We falter at our faith. It's what we don't do. It's when we pull up and say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but there's nothing to go after that. If that's what the Word of God says, then you do what the Bible tells you to do. See, Pastor Johnson, that's way too simplistic. Oh, I know. I know. We live in such a complex world today. Oh, my goodness. How did people ever survive without electronic means? My big one is, how'd you ever make it without a microwave oven? That's what I'd like to know. How? How did we ever go by putting a pot on the stove and actually heating up a pot of water? I mean, how did we ever get to the place where you could put a turkey in the oven, put it in 2 minutes later, you got roast turkey? That's not really how it works, but you get the impression. The truth of the matter is, how? I'm sorry, besides the gadgets of life, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. It's not been any different since the dawn of time, since God put the first man and woman on this earth. God says it, you do it. That's all there is. Will you come to him? He says, if you come to me like that, I'll help you. But you got to be willing to step out by faith. Turn to John chapter 21, please. You got to, John 21. You must be willing to trust him and come by faith, and he'll meet you. Hey, hey. You only sink because you take your eyes off Jesus. You only sink because you halt your obedience. You only sink because you get to the place where you say, well, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Then we fail, not faith. John 21. Now listen, while you're turning there, listen. So whenever you hear somebody say, well, I was going to church and doing what the Bible said, and it all fell apart. Now listen to me carefully. Unless it was testing of God for their testing their faith, nobody ever did what God said and failed at it because God failed them. I think there's three of you who believe that. Now the rest of us need to get on board with this thing. You understand that? Nobody failed because God failed them. No, God doesn't fail people. Now that's right. God does not fail us. Now let me run. Bill, I need to pull over on that one for a minute. I said God does not fail us. We fail at what God tells us, but God does not fail us. Hey, it's impossible for that word to be broken or bound in any way because God puts his authority behind that book. And if you fail doing what the Bible says, you failed not the Bible. And by the way, and if it happens, then there's the amazing thing about God. He's willing to help you get back on your feet and try it again if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amazing. He tells us what to do, encourages us what to do, shows us what to do. If you're a child of God, convict you about what to do, comfort you while you do it, helps you along, and when you fall flat on your face, he'll help you get back on your feet and try it again. See, it's the quitting end where we have the problem, not God. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 21, one more here now that he gives us. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. This is after they have all seen him. The disciples have all seen him. Back in John 20, they were all cowering in an upper room. Doors were locked. Jesus had been crucified, was buried. They'd heard that he'd risen from the dead, but weren't sure. Oh, the fear. Oh, the fear of it all. And they locked themselves in an upper room, and Jesus appears to them and tells them, peace, I'm with you. And then, tell me, Jesus wasn't a Baptist. He said, what do you got to eat? He sat right down, had a meal with them. One guy's missing, the man doubting Thomas. He shows up after the fact. He must have been a Baptist. He was late. He showed up after the fact, and lo and behold, they said, Thomas, you missed him. Thomas, you missed him. And he said, I won't believe it till I see him, and I put my hands in those nail prints and thrust my hand in the side where the spear went. I won't believe it. I won't believe it. I believe Jesus came back just for Thomas. Showed up in that room and said, Thomas, come here. Touch my hands now. Thomas, touch my side. And he got on his knees and said, Lord, my Savior, my God. And in John 21, listen here. After all of that, Peter, the leader, turns to the disciples and said, I quit. When he says, I go a fishing in verse 1, he quit. That's what he was when the Lord found him. He said, I'm going back to my old life. I quit. Six other disciples say, we go with you. And most of them weren't even fishermen. They leave. They go out that night and go fishing. The Bible says that night they caught nothing. Amazing how when you get away from God, how you get nothing in the net. Nothing. Jesus appears on the shore in the morning. Children, have you any meat? And they said, no, sir. He said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. That's my favorite part of the whole thing. The right side of the ship, not the front, not the back, not the left side, not your side, not the side you want. Throw it out on the right side, that side where things are right, the right side where Jesus said, the right side of the thing. And they cast it out, and as they pull it in, there's those silvery fish filling up the nets, the Bible says, and John turns to Peter and says, that's Jesus. Peter jumps out of the ship and swims to shore. John 21. Verse 9, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. They had their fish. He'd already provided for them. And Jesus said to them, verse 10, John 21, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net, land full of fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Look at verse 12. Here's one more promise. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Interesting meal that night. They're all sitting there with their head down eating fish and bread Jesus provided. And they're thinking, I can't even look at him. I quit him. Jesus then, verse 13, then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. People, how could they quit him three times? How could they do this? He's appeared to them three times now. How could they quit him after this? Excuse me. Oh, but he promised. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus sought out his disciples and said, now come and dine. Come and dine. Sit down. Let's have a meal together. You know why Jesus wanted to reclaim these men? Get them back where they needed to be. You hear this morning out of the will of God, you got away from him. He's still seeking you, you know. I don't think he'd take me back, Pastor Johnson, after what I've done with my life. Come and dine, my friend. Come and dine. A lot of cultures in this world, you go visit somebody, the first thing they do, you get to their house is they feed you. It's the first thing. I wish more Americans knew that culture. That's the first thing they do. You know why? Because there's something about the fellowship and the camaraderie and just the embracing moment of having to sit down together. Come and dine. You got away from Jesus. Come and dine. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to get this thing right in your life. Hot August night, 1975, I got right with God after being out of the will of God for 10 years. But you know, I was fortunate in the sense that I'd always been taught that though God never wants you to leave him, he dead sure wants you back. And I knew who to come to. I was a prodigal who said after the hog pen, I will arise and go to my father. I knew where to go. I knew to come to him, and I knew he would take me back. I knew he would. Please understand this morning, we're not talking about salvation more than once. You get saved one time in life, that's all. That's a permanent relationship you have with your God by right of birth and blood. Once a child of God, always a child of God. Sealed and kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed the last time, the Bible says. That's good. That's very good. Relationship cannot be broken, but fellowship sure can. And here are these men out there trying to make their own way without Jesus. And he says, got anything? No, sir. Cast your net. Hear the fish. Bring it in. Sit down. Come and dine, fellas. How many meals did they share together when they were close to the Lord? I don't know. There must have been something about that particular meal that reminded them they could come home and they could come back. And so can you. Come and dine. He doesn't want you to leave, but if you do, you can come and dine. He doesn't want you to get far away, but if it happens, you can come and dine. He wants you to come back to him and get it right. Well, I've done that before, Pastor Johnson. Oh, the wonderful thing about 1 John 1:9 is he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful means he always will. Just means since he's forgiven anybody, he'll forgive you too. It's amazing, our God today. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Come and dine. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Where are you this morning? Let's stand our feet, please. Would you? Heads bowed, eyes closed.